What's up, junkies? Welcome back in for another edition of Pigskin Junkies. Myself, Mike Larson, the one, the only Scott Panza, and now our first-time guest of the show, Chris Thurston. He comes to us from at Sports Map Radio and at Diehards Radio. You can catch him Wednesday nights, 8 to 10. Chris, I love in the bio, the pro drinker while golfing. You know, is it just while you're golfing that you're a pro drinker, or are we also, you know, a sports bar pro drinker too?
I like to think that I'm a little bit of both, to be honest with you. On the golf course, in the bar room, at my house, always trying to get it done while watching some sports and playing some sports.
Absolutely. Now, Scott, how are we doing this week? I know I haven't talked to you since last week. How are we feeling?
We're feeling good. We got some action this weekend. Made it four entries. My four entries got through on the best ball tournaments on DraftKings and Underdog. So I got a nice little sweat this weekend. Fantasy semifinals. No one cares about your fantasy team. And, you know, we're just trying to rock and roll into this weekend, trying to close out the 2020 season strong. You know, coming off a 2-1 walk and beta week, but a bunch of other chalk that didn't go our way last weekend. So trying to improve on it this weekend.
Yeah, of course, I locked the one Wonka Vader that didn't hit. So I'm it's like, dang it. But hey, it is what it is. It was a 5-win week, so we're still in the money.
We need an intervention for me. Stop betting the Bengals. I always think I'm going to get cute, overreaction line, maybe they'll come to play. But, you know, they've given up on Zach Taylor. I'll see you later. That's going to be a nice job opening with a lot of young talent there.
Chris, has there been a team that's been hurting you?
Oh, my God. I'm right there with you on the Bengals, and shame on me, too, because one of my good buddies has a friend who's the offensive line coach on the Bengals, and I gave out the Bengals last week on a show, and he's listening to it, and he's texting me. He's like, no, 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 do not do that. Just talk to Ben. He says they're an absolute dumpster fire. No one cares anymore. They're going to get rocked on next week, and it was all right, too late.
It's tough to get pumped with COVID. Brandon Allen's your quarterback, and you got a lame duck coach.
Right.
All right.
Well, that's, fellas.
I wish I knew this last week.
I wish I knew. Yeah.
I had some coin on the Bengals.
Yeah. So it is Thursday night. Now, Scott, we've done a really poor job of sticking to our rule. And, Chris, that rule was you don't bet Thursday night. But this year it has been like you're so – for lack of a better word, horny for football, that you're just like, I don't care, I'm going to bet it, because who knows how long we're going to have it. So do we want to chit-chat a little bit about the Thursday night game, which is the Raiders versus Chargers?
Man, this game reeks, and the line reeks to me that the Raiders are laying more than 3 in division, short week with a ton of injuries. So I'm staying away. Chris talked me into a little Chargers in the over tees before the show, so probably a little Chargers and the over tees, but, you know, just a little taste.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the game either, but obviously, like you said, I mean, it's Thursday night, NFL regular season coming to a close, got to bet the game. I mean, road dogs have been money this year in the NFL, so, I mean, 6-3 against the spread, 63%. Divisional road dogs are 4-1, so I put a little money on the Chargers plus 3.5. Little revenge factor there, too.
That's a good nugget right there. I like that.
My only gripe is, like, both these teams have nothing to play for. They're both out of the playoffs. So, you know, who's getting up for this game? It's a little tough to handicap. So that's my concern. But I think grab the points, like Chris said.
How great.
Are Raiders totally done?
I mean, they may as well be. They may as well be. They have
I think they're still hanging in the playoff picture. I think they're like a game out of wild card.
They're in the ninth spot right now.
Aren't they losing tiebreakers, I should say?
Probably. How crazy is it that like 3 weeks ago everyone was like, Derek Carr is back to the Derek Carr we remember. And then ever since then, it has been horrible.
Spoke too soon.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Everyone jumped on that bandwagon. Well, here we go. Scott, are you pulling up the standings, or am I clear to launch in the Week 15 card?
You're clear to launch. I am pulling up the standings.
Okay. We'll dive into that once we get going. So I'll start with you, Chris, then. So first game on the card for this week that I'm seeing. Why are they giving me the weird times? Anywho, first one on there, It's with the 5:15, but Panthers Saturday. Packers, because they did they flex it?
No, it's Saturday.
Is it Saturday? Golly,
Saturday football.
I can't remember what day it is. I'm losing my mind. Yes, you're right. Saturday football. I'm just used to, college isn't usually going this late because there's still conference football this weekend. So I'm not in my head. I'm like, there's no NFL that's on Saturday yet. I'm getting bamboozled. 2020, one last time. Panthers on Saturday plus 8.5 traveling to Lambeau.
Wonka Vader number one, Panthers out of the gate. This past week, they botched the game at home against the Broncos. Now they're going to get DJ Moore back. Looks like Christian McCaffrey out again, but Mike Davis got a little rest that he needed this on the bye 2 weeks ago. So he's ready to roll. Way too many points for a potent offense like the Panthers. They've been a cover machine this year. Panthers, Wonka Vader number one for the weekend.
Yeah, Scott, I'm with you. Michael, like you said, I forgot there was NFL games on Saturday. I'm a big college guy. The slate for college is unbelievable on Saturday. But, yeah, Green Bay is such a public play, it seems like, and you know they'll lay anything with Green Bay at home, minus 8.5. I'm with you, Scott. Panthers getting some guys back. I'm taking the points as well. Rule's been doing a great job this year, and I really like the way he's been. He got the team ready to play.
That's an important thing, I think, coming down the stretch is teams with rookie coaches have a lot to prove for next season. They're not going to give up on their coach that much. And I think Matt Rhule, like Chris said, has done a great job this year. Panthers 5-1 on the road against the spread this season. You know, small sample size, but they've been traveling well.
Yeah.
And they've been getting a lot of points all year.
Like you said, with young coaches, you have a choice on how you finish the season. It's like those little car heaters. I'll use that reference for you Northern fellas. I don't know why my car has it, but hey, it is what it is. You can have it on like a setting one or a setting three. You know, if you want to finish the season strong, you can go into next year like maybe on a one or nothing. But you kind of spitter and sputter into the off season. You could be sitting at a two or a three, nice and toasty on the cheeks. The second game on Saturday, Bills circle in the wagon, Scott? Question mark against the Broncos minus 6 at Mile High.
Circle the wagons again on Saturday. Broncos are going to be down to three corners this week. They have a bunch of injuries. AJ Bouye suspended, so they're starting a guy that they just signed this week and two other randos that are not their top corners. So Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs should be feasting. Still no John Brown back this weekend, but a team that can force a lot of turnovers like the Bills is a get-right spot for their defense. Matt Milano's been back. He's been playing well. They've been doing better against the run, so I think this is a great smash spot. I think that you're going to get a lot of people that are going to want to bet the Broncos after last week's win, and they played the Chiefs tough. But I think with the injuries, you lay the 6, it's going to be a little small play. Probably not going to be a contest selection, but I will bet the Bills on Saturday.
So I've got a burnt fading the Bills the last 2 weeks against Pitt and then against the Niners, and this Bills team has impressed me. They are a lot better than I thought. I got to give them some credit. It's unbelievable. Every single week, I'm like, there's no way they could do it again. And they come out and they're playing great football. I don't know if I'll get to the window on this. You never want to buy high on a team at the peak of their value. I think the Bills are there right now. But I'm not playing the Broncos plus 6 either. I might tease the Pats and the Bills. I haven't decided yet, but it's either Bills or no play for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Scott and I were actually talking about how this Bills team has definitely begun to, like you said, reach its peak of national appreciation and viewership of people getting in the window with Bills tickets in their back seat.
ESPN is talking way too much about the Bills right now. I hate it. I don't like to see it.
It's scaring me.
We were way ahead of the game on the Bills. Now people are catching up, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw Barstool's posting stuff. When the Bills are in the Super Bowl, we'll be there. I'm like, all right, come on. They are good, but let's calm down a little bit.
We were all super sadsies when we were watching that first Monday night game, or not first Monday night game, but watching the Bills-Raiders game in Vegas. Because that was going to be our big party this year. We were all going to go out there and live it up and smash some folding tables and all that fun stuff. So next on the card, and we're actually going to move to Sunday now. That is correct. I know my dates. December 20th is a Sunday. Texans plus 7.5 traveling to Indianapolis against Old Man River.
You know, this is a get right spot for the Texans. They were just embarrassed last week. Now they're going to get some guys back. Brandon Cook should be back for this game. David Johnson off the COVID list. So this is a spot where I want to buy the Texans. No one's going to want to bet them this weekend after they laid an egg against the Bears on the road. But this will be in a dome, be an easier game for Deshaun Watson to attack on that zone defense for the Colts. 2 million points in division. And, you know, a lot of these Texans guys, you know, the defense has been terrible. They're going to give up a ton of yards on the ground to Jonathan Taylor and Naeem Hines. But, you know, a little too many points. I want Watson trying to avenge what happened last week, getting more than a touchdown. So I'll be on the Texans this weekend.
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing that you and I have been on the same games, the same side. So since it started, I'm the same way. I was on the Texans a couple weeks ago as my best bet when Watson fumbled on the two going in. Mm-hmm. So that was a great way to start Sunday at 1 o'clock. I gotta give it to the Colts. They've done a really good job with their use of Rivers, in my opinion. San Diego, towards the end of his career, they weren't using him to his full potential. I'm not a big Rivers guy, but they're giving him the right plays for him to get stuff done and get in the end zone. It's 7.5, an NFL game, revenge game, divisional game. I'm taking the Texans. Give me the 7.5. 78% bets on the Colts. I'm taking the Sean and the revenge factor there.
I like that. The rule is, Scott, in division, more than a touchdown? I feel like you gotta gobble it up.
Especially when they just got torched a week ago. Yeah. They should be angry this week. Angry.
Should be.
Yeah, murdered. What was it, 43-3?
I'll tell you. A really bad beat story. This game was 33-7 going into halftime. The over-under was 45-46, which I smashed this past week. So I was like, oh, we're looking great. Jordan Akins drops a touchdown, like, just right in his hands. Then Deshaun Watson fumbles at the one, like, at the one-inch yard. So it hits the under. A little salty about that this past week because Watson got hurt and they brought in A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron is not a backup in this league.
I could have told you that in college.
He's still in the league?
He's still in the league.
I can't believe he's still in the league.
Awful.
He's Bama boy, right?
Bama boy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the one that got Brent Musburger fired from ESPN.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our guy.
It pays to be a quarterback in the SEC, I believe was the words that were used in that sentence.
It's not nice to be so truthful.
Yeah, it's true. Now, Scott, I will say, you want to say awful, but don't use the word awful with A.J. McCarron until you see his chest tattoo.
Oh, I've seen it. Isn't that like the tiger?
No, it's like worse. I think it's wings.
Oh, nice.
I'll
take it to Google.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a fun Google if anyone's wanting to dive into that one. Next on the card, the guy that Scott and I were just waiting all season long for him to get. Accident finally happened. Lions are +11 on the road against the Tennessee Titans.
I think the Lions are a team that have given up on the season. They're probably going to be starting Chase Daniel. No Kenny Golladay. The only positive for Chase Daniel, it gives me some pause, is that the Titans pass rush is absolutely non-existent. Their defense is terrible. So if there's ever a game for Chase Daniel to go make a few more million by keeping his backup job, this is the game for it because they're going to get blown out. So they're just going to be passing the whole game. I don't really want to play the Titans. I think it's a lot of lumber, but I don't want to get there with the Lions. So this is going to be a stay away game for me. I think the Titans will win. Just maybe a few too many points with a really bad defense the Titans have.
I'm in the same boat. I actually, before the show, I was looking at the lines, and it's actually off the board right now because obviously they don't think Stafford's going to play. So they've taken it off. Obviously, we're looking at the circle line, so it's 12.5. But yeah, I'm not laying that many with Tennessee either, and I'm not getting to the window back in the Lions either. So it's a stay away game for me as well. There's other better games on the board to play.
Yeah, I think the way the Titans play offense, anything above a touchdown, you got to feel a little scared about because they don't. It's not a flashy, high scoring offense unless Derrick Henry just goes off. But I mean, most people you're putting you know, 10 people in the box almost these days just to try and stop Henry. Next on the card, the largest spread of the weekend, and that is Scott's J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 taking on the Rams, this one in L.A.
Oh, man, Jets. I don't know if they stayed out on the West Coast, Chris. I don't know if you know, but, you know, they were just in Seattle. Typically, teams, when they're a cohesive unit, they stay out there on the West Coast to play the next game. But I doubt this Jets team wanted to do that because they all hate each other and they hate their coach. I can't get there with the Jets because as putrid as they looked on offense last week against a decent Seattle defense, they're going to look even worse against this Rams defense on extended rest after that Pats win. So Rams are bust. It's really tough to want to lay 18 points in the NFL, but I think it's justified in this spot. Rams have no injuries. Everyone's healthy. They should just steamroll this Jets team. It's going to be another long trip for the Jets. J-E-T-S.
Yeah. I mean, look, we know what we're getting with this Jets team. I'm sorry to say this, Scott. The coaching staff is absolutely brain dead. They've mailed it in. Season's over. But yeah, I can't lay that many on the road either. But in my opinion, the Rams are the best team in the NFC, all around complete team. I just can't justify laying 18 points though on the road. I don't care who you're playing. This is the NFL. Any given Sunday. I mean, they've lost every game. Are they going to go 0-16? I mean, I guess they can.
I hope so. I want to see. I mean,
I'm staying away.
Yeah, that's a I did look at it for a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. I stared at it for a while. I thought about it. I can't. That's beyond Pepto. I mean, that is like. You got to drink the whole bottle and then some to, like, even think about putting money on that game or even
watching.
Think
about how angry these Jets players are. They have to go back out west to go to L.A. for this game. That's a long flight. They can't be happy about it.
So, Scott, I want to get your opinion on this real quick. So I got into a fight with a bunch of guys up here on radio. When the Jets were playing the Raiders, what was that, two weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Everybody up here is saying they lost on purpose and he shouldn't have zero blitz, but you know, he did that because they wanted to lose. And I'm like, no, you don't grind out an NFL game like that. Like, the Jets played great that game. They played absolutely great. And you're not winning with 5 seconds left and just to say, oh yeah, hey, call it in. We're going to lose this game right now and have Derek Carr throw a 6-yard bomb. Like, what is wrong with people? They absolutely, in my opinion, did not lose that game on purpose.
No way. First of all, like, you would never be able to hide that you're intentionally trying to lose in this league. It does no benefit to Adam Gase to intentionally lose because, you know, he's already going to find a tough spot trying to get – he's not going to get another head coaching job, but he's going to want to go get an OC job somewhere, I'm sure. So it makes him look bad. It makes Greg Williams look bad. Greg Williams has a history of doing this. He's done it for years. You know, he's just an idiot, and that's why they fired him on that Monday. So he's probably not going to get another DC job anytime soon. So no way was it on purpose. No shot. You can't do your players dirty like that. You'll get a reputation.
No one wants to go 0-16. No. If you remember this. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Yeah, what? They'd be the second or third team to do that? No, the Lions.
The Lions did it with Orlovsky.
Yeah. Was there anyone? I think it was just those two teams. If the Jets do it, yeah.
Yeah, golly. I think so. Now Orlovsky's on, ESPN, doing great.
Yeah, who's the real winner, right?
Yeah.
That's true, though. I mean, how can you go? I mean, there's no way a guy comes on the radio and goes, "Hey, I think they're outside." You know, he's going to run an in and out or a double move, fake the in, and then break it off and just go deep. And when it happens, really sell that you're biting for it. Just really get after it.
Right.
When you can't.
No shot.
Yeah.
The player wouldn't do it.
Playing for individual contracts as well. Yeah. I mean, there's too many levels to this machine.
Think about the shame these guys must live with if they go home in 16.
Yeah.
You can only laugh it off for so long.
I mean, what if the zero blitz worked and they got to Carr in 2 seconds? Everybody had been like, what a genius call by Greg Williams and the Jets to get their first win, right?
So, didn't offer him enough money to get to the quarterback.
He was going for the headlines. Now we just nailed it. He wanted to be the genius.
Yeah.
I'm not a bitter Vikings fan over here about him or anything like that. Next on the card, Falcons plus 5.5. Another team that Scott has just a love for, but has been burned so many times. In division, taking on the Buccaneers.
No Julio Jones. This offense is really going to struggle. Matt Ryan has looked terrible the last few weeks. He gave away the game against the Chargers to our benefit last week, so we are thrilled. I'll lay the 5.5. Now, I think there's a lot of people that like taking in division dogs late in the season more than a field goal. I will plug my nose. I'll lay the 5.5 with the Bucs here. This offense needs to get going if they want to make noise in the playoffs. It looked pretty bad this past week against the Vikings when that was a pretty good smash spot for them. This is a secondary Brady should carve up. If AB and Co. can't get going this weekend against the Falcons secondary, you know, don't even pack your bags during the playoffs because it's going to be really, really short for you. So I'll lay the 5.5 with the Bucs. They're playing for something Falcons aren't.
Micah, next game we got to do me first because it's going to look like I'm taking Scott picks every single game. I have the Bucs circled here as well. We've seen this Bucs team look unreal, and then they've looked like the worst team in the football. Every single week, it's, you know, you're either getting this unbelievable team or they're looking awful. But the amount of talent they have is ridiculous. I don't think that there's a big problem with Brady and Arians as they claim to be. I think they're going to keep winning. They want to win games here. It was an ugly win versus Minnesota last week, coming off the two losses in the bye. But they're going to be ready to go, and I'd lay the short number on the road here too. -5.5. I'm taking the Bucs. 62% of the bets are coming in on the Falcons right now.
Wow. I wouldn't have
guessed
that.
People just can't quit the Falcons. That's what it is. They can't quit them.
Because they can score. I mean, they can put up points. So that's going to – it's going to keep faith, you know, in them at least keeping it somewhat there. Give you a chance. Hey, if my boy Kirky Cousins can do it, anyone can.
That's a good point. Good point.
So, Chris, I'll start with you on this one, and I think Scott will be happy about it because you can talk about his Patriots. Patriots plus 1.5. I had to clear my eyes when I read that. Patriots plus 1.5 in Miami.
So this line, I'm up in Boston here. I am a Patriots fan. This isn't a biased pick at all. When I see the Pats in a bad spot, I do bet against the Pats. On Monday morning when I woke up, I looked at my locals lines and the Pats were getting 2.5 against him on him and plus 125 on the money line. I quickly hopped on that. I really like the way this Pats team matches up against the Finns. I think it's one of those games where Cam will be able to get loose, run the ball. I mean, look, he hasn't been great throwing the ball. We all know that this year. But he has been able to win them some games by running the ball and not having to use his, you know, his shot put arm, I call it up here. Bill against rookie quarterbacks has been absolute domination. I mean, I don't think there's been a rookie quarterback to ever beat Bill, actually. They might get Edelman back. I like the Pats in this spot. I think they go down there. They usually play pretty crappy down in Miami, but I think they get the job done, and they get the outright win.
You know, Bill, someone said that to Bill this week, and he responded by saying, you must not be talking about last year because we'd be in like 46-7 down there. I'm with you on the Pats. I bought it earlier in the week at 2.5. Now I'm supposed to quit the Pats because they're also my team, and I'm always jiving the wrong way with them this year. But bought them early this week, like Chris said. Really bad, really great against rookie quarterbacks. Now, Tua's going to be down a bunch of guys. Mike Gesicki's going to be down for this game, although he has two clones, Shaheen and some other guy that looks exactly like on that should fill the void. But Devontae Parker's hurt. Jakeem Grant's hurt. Miles Gaskin's hurt. They might get Salvon Ahmed back. So you really don't know who's playing for the Dolphins. You got to respect Brian Flores, what he's done this year. I do have my little caution is, what if Bill Belichick tries to get the win to Flores? Because he's his guy, his season's done. Prove your draft. Conspiracy theories. I bet the Pats. I'm going to get to the window with the Pats. They're going to be a contest selection.
Yeah, same.
I feel like that though, Scott, falls into the category we were just talking about with the Jets. Of, you know, can you purposefully lose an NFL game? Conspiracy theory.
Right. I don't think Bill would do that. I see what you're saying. But no, I don't think he wants to go in there and just hand them the game.
No, I think he's going to make Tua really struggle, and they're not going to be able to run the ball. And I think let's just say I have the Pats starting on all of my fantasy teams this weekend.
I think Bill's tired of hearing the questions of, you know, who's the starting quarterback, and, you know, Cam this, Cam that. I mean, we all know Cam is a soldier for Bill. Bill loves Cam. Cam loves Bill. They're going to want to get the win and go down there and make a statement for sure, especially after last Thursday night.
I'll always pull for my boy Cam. Always. I do. I like what you said, though, Chris, about the shot put arm, because my brother and I would always talk about that, and just something has looked funky for the last couple of years with his throwing motion. It just doesn't look.
It doesn't even look like he's looking at the guy he's trying to throw it to.
It just doesn't look comfortable. Yeah, it just looks painful when he throws, but it is what it is. And I agree. I think you can take that Kyler Murray game plan you had, 2 weeks ago, and just be like, hey, we're going to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Yep, 100%.
So it'll be. I always love watching Bill versus rookies. Now, my question is for you two Pats guys before I move on to the Seahawks and Washington football team game would be, does Belichick have like a running record like Nick Saban does, where he just beats the piss out of all of his former assistants?
It used to be better. He's dropped some. He dropped a game to like Patricia a few years ago. He dropped a game to Flores last year. It's still pretty pristine. Okay. But I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head either, but yeah, I think it's pretty good as well, yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, those two, it's like they're connected to the hip. I feel like Saban and Belichick, they're just the same brain. Anywho.
If only Saban could toss Bill a few ideas. Take some of my wide receivers, Bill.
Yeah.
Like, come on. What are you? The best wide receivers in the country, Bill. Take some of them, please.
Ain't that the truth? It's Scott was sharing with me that picture that they put up on Thursday night of the draft picks. Not to keep hammering this point home, I'm sorry, but I'm just
Malcolm Mitchell was pretty good until he got you know bad knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
But we'll move on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to keep hitting that home. Don't worry. My team's next in the next game, and so we can talk a lot about a certain person who wears number 5. Washington plus 5.5 against the Seattle Seahawks. Will they let Russ cook versus this cooking Washington defense?
Uh-huh. You go, Chris. You go.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Alex Smith, still questionable, I believe, from what I've been seeing. I don't trust Haskins at all. This football team, the defense is playing great. And I was on I watched that whole game. They look really good. The football playoffs, I think this is a game where Carroll wants to set the tone for his team going into the playoffs. Although it might be a look-ahead spot next week, I believe the Seahawks are at the Rams. But I still don't care who's – even if Smith comes back and does play, he's banged up. Plays, I like the Seahawks even more.
We're going to disagree. I'm thrilled. We got one.
Finally. Finally.
So it looks Alex Smith and Antonio Gibson out for this game. But the defense are the football team has been playing so good. Chase Young is just what a stud. They have a great defensive pass rush against a weak Seahawks offensive line. I don't trust Pete Carroll after what I saw a few weeks ago against a really good defense to put a game plan together to blow the doors off. Now, Dwayne Haskins has to be told, you're a game manager. You know, short check downs, just like Alex Smith was doing. Don't try to do it all. Don't try to get nuts, you know, jam a pass into McLaurin into double coverage. So I expect Dwayne Haskins, if he wants a shot of being a quarterback in this league, to put together a good game next week. There's not as much tape because he has been playing. So I'll hop on the Dwayne Haskins train. I'm on Washington. I bought it earlier in the week at 6. Happy to buy it at 5.5.
Next on the card, my Minnesota Vikings, and somehow Dan Bailey will still be kicking field goals for this team. And I am terrified because they are a field goal favorite against the Chicago Bears.
Did they not cut him yet?
No. No, we cut our practice squad kicker. I have no. You tell me how Daniel Carlson misses 3 field goals in his rookie season at Lambeau Field, and he is cut the next night, next morning, and Dan Bailey goes 0-for in everything and is gone. All Daniel Carlson's done is go to Vegas and absolutely boom it.
I'll tell you, Zimmer did him no service by letting him kick a 54-yarder this past weekend. That was a really bad coaching decision. With that said, Mitch Trubisky got me some cash in Daily Fantasy this past weekend. I'm back on the Trubisky train. A little revenge spot early in this year. I thought at home he should have been the starter against this Vikings team. It would have fared better than Nick Foles. Doesn't make you feel too good, but Akeem Hicks is back this week, so he should stifle that Dalvin Cook running game. I'm back on the Bears. I'm a believer in Mitch. Mitch Trubisky time. So I think he's got a great connection with Allen Robinson. Very high scoring game in this one. Both defenses are just a little lackluster. I'll grab the points in division.
All right, Mike, I don't know if this is going to make you even more nervous. So I gave this out as my best bet. I like the Vikings. How they didn't cut him is mind-blowing, but leaving 10 points on the field for them there. But that did help me because I was on the Bucks last week. This Bears team, just not buying them. They started off good. They're not well coached, in my opinion. I think Nagy will be fired by the end of the year. Everybody's high on the Bears after their blowout last weekend. 73% of the bets looks like coming in on the Bears. Funny little story. I was in a bar a couple days ago. This older gentleman asked me for my picks every week. I told him the Vikings were my best pick this week, and he laughed at me and told me that I was an idiot. Did I watch the game last weekend? They don't have a kicker, and they're going to get killed. I told him I like the Vikings even more. I said, thanks, Don. I'll have a great day.
Yes. I like that.
That's so, I am on the Vikings.
I'm now scared of the Bears. That's a good indicator. You go into a bar and they tell you you're an idiot, you're on the right side.
Exactly. Right. Ain't that the truth? I do like watching Dalvin Cook go against this Bears D-line because there's just constant tripping going back and forth between those two. And I think it brings out the best in Dalvin, and it brings out the best in the Bears, too. And they got some unreal D-linemen. It's a fun rivalry. I enjoy it. Next on the ticket, and Poopgate returns to the field, -12.5, the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So Gardner Minshew time back. You know he's going to be very excited to put out some good tape. He wants to make sure he stays in this league as a starter. This is time to do it. This offense has been sputtering. I think a little too many points. A team that should be a little rested. They're trying to make some noise here with a bunch of the younger guys. Gardner Minshew, I'll back Gardner. I'll grab the 12.5. Now the line opened at 14. It's been moving towards the Jaguars. So what sickos have been paying the Jags earlier in the week, other than sharp action? So I'll be on the Jags this weekend.
Yeah, same for me. I think it's a great spot to fade the Ravens here, coming off probably the best NFL game of the season, in my opinion, to watch on Monday night. Hollywood Brown, I believe, COVID list. I don't know if he'll be able to go. Jags are clearly, not good. Of course, I had them week one. I had the Colts week one as my survivor pick. Only win of the year for the Jags. So a little depressing there. But getting the 12.5, I will take the Jags as well. I feel like a lot of people will be on the Ravens coming off that win on Monday night. I like the Jags. Give me the points.
Definitely a little bit of a sleeper spot playing this Jags team.
It is, yeah, and I mean, like you said, it could be coming off a huge game last week. Now, do we feel like that was Lamar Jackson's? I know you guys are Boston people. Lamar Jackson's Paul Pierce moment.
I'm not buying that. I'm buying Poopgate.
Yeah. My buddy's texting me. He's like, he's taking a poop. I'm like, what is taking so long? It's taking forever. How is he not back out there? I need him out there right now.
It could have been the first
squirts. Oh, man. That's awesome.
And that was that 4th and 5 he comes back there. I mean, come on.
I'll do a quick side story of me personally. There was a time in middle school where I missed about the whole first half of a basketball game because I was on the can. Came out for warm-ups. I was like, all right, ready to rock. And we did a couple of the layup lines. I was like, nope. I went into the locker room. They're like, where the heck did you go? Like, well, I had to. We got lost, up. Thought I was done. And you know, round two. Ding, ding, ding. It didn't matter. Couldn't even get out to the court.
That's amazing.
Next on the card. Amazing. Giants are +4.5 against the aforementioned and also topic of conversation, Browns.
So great news for the Giants. Jason Garrett is on the COVID list, so he will not be coaching this game, so he cannot screw up this offense anymore. So thrust into offensive coordinator duties is Freddie Kitchens, the ex-coach of the Cleveland Browns. Unfortunately, he's going to be starting Colt McCoy most likely because Daniel Jones is banged up. James Bradbury, the top corner, he just hit the COVID list. A little too much noise in this one, so it's a fade right now. I wanted to back the Giants in a get-right spot at home. Browns offense looking really good, and there's just too many question marks for the Giants. So this is a fade, and this is the new Sunday night game. Colt McCoy, Baker Mayfield, beautiful.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat here. I like the Giants when the lines first came out, and then I was kind of thinking about it a little more. I like the Giants if Jones starts. Doesn't look like he's going to get there. Then this morning I hear that Freddie Kitchens is going to call the play. I don't know who's better calling the plays, Kitchen or Garrett. They're both brain dead, in my opinion. But if Jones is playing, I'd take the points. Everybody's going to bet the Browns. It makes me lean Giants a little bit, but probably a no play for me.
Yeah, this one, I know the Giants have been our fit. Was Kitchens the coach when McCoy was in Cleveland, or how long ago was McCoy in Cleveland?
No, way too long ago.
Way too long?
Yeah, Kitchens just had 1 year.
Okay, I can't keep it straight. I can't. When you told me McCoy was going to be a starting quarterback, I was bamboozled. I'm so shocked he's still in the league.
Freddie Kitchens is the example of how important coaching is in this league, because this is the same Browns team as a year ago, and now they're 9-4 versus what they were, a total dumpster fire last year. This is showing coaching matters. Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm going to be honest with you. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
Sorry. I was going to say, how about the Giants, though? They get, in my opinion, I think Joe Judge will be a good coach. I do think that. But they go out and they take Garrett and Kitchens. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. You're trying to rebuild the Giants and you do that.
it's the cocoon. It's the cocoon. They just
once you're in,
he's out of there after this year. He needs to go. He's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the NFL coaching deal where once you get a coordinator, a head coach position, you like have a job for life type of thing where you just can't, no one gets rid of you. They're like, well, he has experience, so bring him in.
Right.
Like, no, try something new. just absolutely wild. Well, there is a team that is trying something new. And now we went from one Oklahoma Heisman-winning quarterback to one that won and one that almost won. We got Jalen Hurts and the Eagles trying something new at the quarterback position, taking on Kyler Murray and the Heisman-winning Cardinals.
Chris, you kick us off here.
Sure. Up until last week, everybody's saying Eagles are dead. Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, they don't have a quarterback. No one knows what to do. I thought it was a good idea throwing Hurts in there. Let's see what the kid's got. Hurts looked good, in my opinion. He came out. He's throwing the ball well. He's running the ball. They had a good game all around. I feel like the guys on the Eagles got behind Hurts, wanted to play for him. Not too sure how the locker room is right now. I feel like they want Hurts as the starting quarterback. I am on the Cards at home, -6. I feel like public's going to be on the Eagles. Looks like 73% of the bets are coming in on the Gulls. I like the Cards at home, laying the 6.
I'm with my man Chris Wonkabader, #2 of the week. Cards, -6.5. It opened -5.5. More bets are coming in on the Eagles, but the spread's moving away from them. I think this is a spot where the Eagles defense isn't going to be able to stop Kyler Murray. I think they're going to be able to run all over them. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to be in a little different environment, a little deeper pass rush. A team with the Cardinals that are fighting for a playoff spot. I think a big turnover game for Jalen Hurts. I think the Cards are a little decent streamer or DFS play for the weekend. I'll be on the Cards heavy this weekend.
Yeah, I think a lot of the public is definitely going to be flying on the birds in this one after last week. You can have that overreaction to, oh, here's the Eagles, like they're back. This is a team that a lot of people think has talent and can do well, and I feel like we're betting them all year just waiting for Carson Wentz to do something. It's been kind of crazy, Chris. I don't know if you saw the picture side by side of 2010 when Mike Vick took over at quarterback for the Eagles. The score was 20-3. It was the third quarter at Lambeau Field, or excuse me, not at Lambeau, but against the Green Bay Packers. Jalen Hurts comes into the game to relieve Carson Wentz. The score is 20-3 Green Bay in the third quarter. Magic voodoo.
That's
there.
That's interesting. But I did not see that. Wow. Okay.
But it's going to be interesting. I'm excited. I've really enjoyed Jalen Hurts. I know that's hard to hear for people who know I'm an Auburn guy, but he's been a fun guy to cheer for. Him and Charles Barkley had a bet during one of the Iron Bowls that if they lost, he would have to shave his head or something like that. And he went through with it, which was, you know, pretty cool on his end, and he was all fun and games about it. But he ended the video, he's like, all right, Charles, I held up my end of the deal. And then he turned around and he had on like his national championship shirt, because that was the year they went on to win it anyway. But stung just a little bit. He got that last zinger in there against us. But it's all fun and games. So I like him, and I'm really excited to watch these two quarterbacks play, because I feel like they have very similar styles. I wonder if Lincoln Riley will try and make the trip out there.
Salivating.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, next one I got on the card, boys, is the Saints +3 taking on the Kansas City Chiefs.
No one is going to want to bet the Saints this weekend. Everyone's going to want to be on the Chiefs because they're just steamrolling teams. They got a little backdoor cover last week against the Dolphins. I really like the Saints in this spot. Home dog. They played really well at home. The Chiefs, three of their offensive linemen are down. They're already a weak offensive line team. So this is Saints off a really bad loss. Get right spot. I'll feel a lot better if Michael Thomas is playing on Sunday. So at least Taysom Hill has someone that can catch a ball. But I'll definitely be on the Saints. I'm really hoping this gets 3.5, and it's going to be a total smash spot, but I doubt I'll get there.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, too. Everybody's looking at this game, and they're seeing Chiefs -3. Are you kidding me? The Saints are terrible. They just lost to the Eagles. No one in their right mind could bet the Saints, right? That's what makes me like the Saints. I still think that the Saints could win games with Taysom Hill. I think they're a lot better team with Drew Brees, yes, but Taysom Hill has been getting it done. He lost one game, right, since he's been the starter? Mm-hmm. Then it was last week,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's winning games week after week in the NFL. It's very hard to do. Give me the Saints at home +3. I like that defense to stop Mahomes.
Is Taysom going to get the Teddy Bridgewater treatment and then go somewhere and then kind of meh?
I think the Saints have paid him. I think they have him locked up. So I think he's there to stay. But isn't he old? He's Mormon and he's like 33.
Is he that old? I think he's like 28.
I was exaggerating. I didn't think he was really 33, but I think he's on the older side. No, he's 30.
Yeah.
And he's from BYU and he's Mormon.
Yes.
BYU, right? Yeah,
he's Mormon. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Right. I'm kind of joking with the whole, he hasn't, he's only lost one game. What, Teddy went 5-0 last year? I'm not saying he did bad. Or he's doing bad in Carolina, but sometimes I wonder how much of that is Sean Payton just knowing how to absolutely manipulate defenses with a puppet at quarterback.
That's a great point.
But no, that Gummit guys, I was feeling good about the Chiefs. I locked them up in my initial like gut feel when I was looking through it all. I mean, how many times do you see the Chiefs at 3?
Right.
It's not often.
Not often. So I feel like I just got to consume. All right, I'm going to have to sit on that one for a little while.
The thing that scares me, and obviously, Scott and I could be totally wrong, and Casey could come out and win by 14. They could just score at will. It's just stupid. I mean, it doesn't matter how much time's left, how much they're down. I mean, they go down the field so quick. It's insane. That's the scary part, but I still like the Saints plus the points.
Yeah, we figured that out last year during the playoffs, that the Chiefs can just on a whim be like, oh, yeah, we're playing football. Let's try and score some points here.
Yep. Light switch.
Yeah. Now, two teams that are trending the opposite way of what they were in the 90s, and that is the Cowboys plus three taking on the 49ers.
I think Nick Mullins is a little insulting that he's laying three on the road with how poorly he's looked the last few weeks, but I can't get behind the Andy Dalton and the Cowboys. So stay away, lean Niners, would like it at 2.5, not going to touch it at three.
This is a plain and simple fade the public for me. I don't like it. Obviously, I was on Cincy last weekend. The boys tore him up. Everybody's on the Niners. 88% of the bets coming in on the Niners right now. I'm taking the boys plus three at home.
Golly, the Cowboys. If you're Dak Prescott, do you want to come back at this point? Let's flip the script. It was, do they want him to come back? Now it's, do I really want to be here? Or should I go somewhere else?
That's a great question.
I guess that's one we'll have to wait and see what old Jerry Jones decides. Next and last on the card, we have the team that everyone's been talking about on the pod today, the old Cincinnati Bengals taking on in-division rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I mean, the Steelers blitzkrieged them earlier in the season, and if what Chris is saying is true, that the team is totally given up on the season, and the Steelers are off two straight losses, this should be another blitzkrieg on Monday Night Football. So I'll be back on the Steelers. I mean, they got to get right. They got to stop dropping passes. Deontay Johnson, you can't have that many drop passes this past week. So I like the Steelers in this spot and lay the 13. Square spot.
This is a get-right game. They weren't the real deal. They've lost the last two games. Tomlin doesn't know what he's doing. This is a get-right game. I mean, they couldn't have a better opponent to get right with the Bengals. I like them. Square play, but I'll lay.
Yeah, God, that's scary. I know whenever we go square, Scott, it's usually we're trying to – it's square peg, round hole. It's just not – it never seems to work out for us when we're trying to – we just can't seem to find that shape on the board. We're like, come on. Yeah. Come on. Which one are you?
Right.
That's awesome. Well, Scott, do we want to take Chris in on the movies?
I told him to be prepared. Micah, you kick us off. This is your week to start.
Oh, well, I was going to let Chris do it. I was going to let him
You know the charge. Chris, you're the guest.
All right, sure, I'll start. I had to dig deep for this one. I really had to think about this. But, I mean, I don't know if this is kind of a square pick here, but I'm going with The Fighter as number one.
Oh, ooh.
I like it.
That's off the board. All right.
The role he played there, I just thought he did a great job. I had to lose a ton of weight, and, I mean, now playing the drunken brother and...
What do you got, number two?
Are you going to do – you want me to go all mine first?
Yeah, go one through three, and we'll all do it. We'll all go one through three.
I guess, Chris, if you want to see us all do our ones, and then we could do it. We could try it differently.
I'll
mix it up. Let's do it. You go, Scott. You give your
number one. My number one is The Prestige. Hugh Jackman, Christian Bale, Scarlett Johansson, Rebecca Hall. They're competing magicians. It is a great movie with lots of twists. It's a Christopher Nolan movie. Mm-hmm. The end really got me. So, Prestige number one.
Wow, that's a really good one, man. You guys are on the money here with all of these. Prestige is phenomenal. Really, the one that I've loved, and I don't. It's so hard for me to say because I'm a comic nerd. And what I really loved was Batman Begins, because I feel like when it comes to all of the movies that there have been, you know, it's like Iron Man changes suit, but Batman changes bodies because there's been so many people that have played Batman through the years. Christian Bale's portrayal of Bruce Wayne was really, really great. And I think Nolan played on that a lot. It wasn't so much I'm Batman, like, watch me do all the superhero stuff. But it was also, how does Bruce Wayne play into it? And he was a perfect American Psycho Bruce Wayne. Chris, we'll let you go with your number two.
So I had to look at all the Batmans, and I'm going with Dark Knight as my second pick. that one just really hits home for me. I remember watching that one in the theaters with my father and my brother, and the way the Joker, wrecks havoc in that one. It just, I always remember that for some reason. And the way that Bale played it in that movie, I mean, Nolan just really got it right, in my opinion. I think that was 2008, right?
That one? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. All the Joker, the way he looked, and the way Bale portrayed Batman in that one.
So my number two is American Psycho. Christian Bale. I don't know how they shot some of these scenes because they're just so outrageous. I don't know how they're not just laughing on set. Christian Bale just crushes it in this role. It's an unintentionally really funny movie. Still don't know what happened in it, but American Psycho number two.
I'm going to do American Psycho number two for myself as well. I just pulled up some clips on YouTube just to kind of refresh myself again on it because it's been a minute. And it was just dying laughing when he comes up there. He's got the camcorder set up and he's talking about like Phil Collins and sex and just like how it all comes together. And it's like Phil Collins by himself. Yeah, but you know, you put him in this, you know, and just out there playing studio and like flex it in the mirror. I mean, it's phenomenal.
He's doing it so calmly too. It's like, how many takes did that take?
Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. And then Chris, we'll let you roll in with your number three.
All right, this is kind of a sissy one here, but I'm going with the Newsies. One of his first ever back. Back in 92, I'm a musical guy. My mom used to take, when I first saw this movie, I had to watch it a second and appreciate it, but they were all young kids, and the roles they played there, they did an awesome job. And if any of you have never seen it, I highly suggest watching it for sure.
Newsies is great. And right around the same time, he came out with a movie called Swing Kids, where they're in Germany during World War II, and they become their kids that are love dancing, and they become like Gestapo for the Nazis. It was a pretty intense movie. So Newsies and Swing Kids, take a look. But number three is Batman Begins for me. I really like the origin story of Bruce Wayne. I thought it was just a really unique take that they had on it. Really close to Dark Knight, but I was going to cop out and say that they're tied. So I go Batman Begins over Dark Knight for my number three.
Yeah, that I like both of the points that were made when Dark Knight was mentioned, because for me, it was a hard one because I love that movie. Like, if I'm going to sit down and watch a Batman movie, I'm watching Dark Knight, because that was just absolutely unbelievable. But what made me lean more towards Batman Begins was because I felt like Christian Bale was almost outshone by Heath Ledger. Not almost. I feel like Ledger's Joker was the most unbelievable thing that I think had ever been witnessed on the silver screen. Both movies, both those actors really brought the best out in each other. Number three for me, I'm going to go with The Big Short. Really liked The Big Short. Yeah. I thought he did a great job. When he's in the house good playing call. The drums. I was dying
classic.
Laughing. Yeah. And Ryan Gosling also does a phenomenal job in that movie. Jared used to walk around and he'd say that to me, I'm jacked. I'm jacked to the tits. It was the funniest thing to put up, just walk around laughing with that. It's been, that movie, first time seeing it in theaters, I felt like I could go out and like solve the whole housing market by myself. I'm like, this is so easy. It's such a good job. I will say, he just got cast for Thor Love and Thunder to play Gore the God Butcher, which he'll be like CGI'd. And I'm very excited to see how he does that, because he's very much a method actor, right? That's one where you just totally dive into it. So I'm wondering
He loves doing the weird stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
He loves like losing an absurd amount of weight. I don't know if you guys have seen The Machinist, but he's like skin and bone in that one.
Yeah, and then he went and recorded, because he went from The Machinist to Batman Begins. Yeah. Like going from a stick to just like bulking up like a madman. It's unreal.
It's got to be good for you.
Yeah, it's really good for the body.
Yeah, for the body.
Yeah, and the psyche. I'm sure that the chemical imbalance doesn't do anything bad to you. Of course not.
Really gets you right.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much for tuning in. Now, I want to give you a chance again to plug kind of what you do on a regular weekly basis as well. We really appreciate you having Scott on the show this week, and we love having you on here as well.
Mike, Scott, thanks for having me on. Much appreciated. Love hanging with you guys, talking shop, shooting the shit, and making picks on the games. Hopefully do it again soon. You guys could catch me on Sports Map Radio Wednesday nights, 8 to 10 Eastern. The show is the Diehards. Thank you guys again.
Let's get winners this weekend, Micah.
Yeah.
And good luck in all your fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, because everyone cares about your fantasy team.
No one.
Exactly. Everyone cares. Don't let Scott tell you that nobody cares. You keep talking to them at the water cooler about your fantasy team, okay? That's what this podcast is for. I always think of that's honestly should be a shirt that we make, Scott, is that picture of I think it's a guy at the Astros game talking to Paris Hilton. Or something like whispering in her ear, and it should say, like, and then my fantasy team, something like that.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It's quality t-shirt stuff right there. So we'll have to get that going. Well, Chris, thank you again so much for coming on. We really, really enjoyed it. Once again, you can check him out on Sports Map Radio, Wednesday nights, the Diehards. Scott, any final thoughts, my friend?
No, let's have a big weekend.
Let's have a big weekend. Skull Vikes, baby. That's what I like to hear. Just for that, Chris. You can come back whenever you want. That's what I'm talking about. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for tuning in, junkies. We will see you next time.
Abracadabra.
Suck the taint too soon.